In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. We welcome you to our Perseverance Family Conversation. Great to be with you. As is our custom, we like to begin our conversation by invoking Mary. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, we pray in the prayer that we say at the end of the Rosary, the Hail Holy Queen. We cry out to Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and beg Mary to be with us and to pray with us and to pray for us, as we say. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invoke and invite our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Among the many titles of the Holy Spirit are the following. He is the Paraclete. The Catechism of the Catholic Church calls the Holy Spirit the gift of gifts. Holy Spirit is known also as the sweet guest of our souls. The Holy Spirit is also known as the sanctifier. He who makes us holy. The Holy Spirit is known also as the counselor. He gives us good advice. He's also known as the consoler in the midst of our desolation. He can give us consolation. And also the Holy Spirit is interior master. St. Paul says we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Abba, which means father or daddy. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us and to give us a lot of graces, a lot of peace, a lot of joy, a lot of strength. As we say, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful, by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Pontus, pray for us. Saint Hippolytus, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. So, as is my custom, I like to offer certain prayers for all of you in what is called the Opus Dei, the work of God. I'd like to place all of you on the altar as you celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. My first intention will be that all of you will have an ardent, fervent desire to grow in sanctification, to be faithful to your universal call of holiness. That is to say, all of us are called to arrive at sanctity, all of us are called to become saints. Maybe not canonized saints, but saints indeed, because a saint is someone who's in heaven. My next intention would be I'd like to pray for all of you, in a special way, for your families and your children. Some of them are finishing up their vacation this week or will be returning to school next week amidst the many challenges that are out there today. Pray that your children will be protected in a very special way. I'd like to pray for your children this weekend that they'll get closer to God. Tomorrow we celebrate St. Maximian Kolbe, and Sunday we celebrate the Assumption of Mary into heaven. So we want to ask this great saint and Mary to help our children, to protect our children. But also that they would build up your family. The family, which is the domestic church, the basic building block of society, is a family. That your children would be instrumental in building, in edifying your family. But also that they would get out there and play sports, become involved. Physical activity is important for the youth, the children, as well as for us. I pray that they would form the habit of good reading. You know, among my best friends are my books, because books are powerful means to cultivate our minds. How important it is for us to fill our minds with the truth. But I'd like to pray for your children that they also would cultivate good friendships. A good friend is a jewel of infinite price. Finally, I'd like to pray for your children that they would cultivate their talents. All of us have talents. They might be musical. They might be artistic. They might be social. They might be intellectual. They might be talents of communication. There might be literary talents. The enemy, of course, would be that of laziness, that we would not capitulate to the capital sin of sloth, but rather that we would work hard in this life and we could rest forever in heaven. And finally, I'd like to pray for all of us that we would be faithful to our daily prayer time. That we'd be faithful to our holy hour, which Fulton Sheen calls the hour of power. So these are my intentions I'd like to offer for all of you on this day as I place him on the altar in the Mass I will be celebrating later on. Today being Friday is a day in which we all should carry out some type of penance. It could be penance or an act of charity or some almsgiving. But Friday is a day in which we call to mind what Jesus suffered on the cross for us. And for us to conquer our bad tendencies, which are present as a result of original sin in the capital sense, we have to pray but do penance. So choose something today, some type of penance or mortification or charity. Offer it to the Lord for your own sanctification and offer your penance for the salvation of some sinners. Jesus said, unless we do penance, we will perish. So I'd like to speak very briefly about the first reading, then I'd like to spend most of the time on the Gospel today. We're going through the book of Joshua in the first reading, and we jump all the way to chapter 24 of the book of Joshua. In this, Joshua is speaking to the children of Israel. He basically gives a summary of all the marvels, all the miracles, all the signs that God has carried out, especially through his servant Moses, that the people will be aware that their God is a loving God, that their God is present to them, that their God has protected them, their God has defended them, their God has helped them in the battle, their God has helped them to persevere as a people. So Joshua is inviting the people to call to mind the past victories that God has accomplished in their lives. I'd like to apply this to us. Last night in our holy hour, I spoke about desolation and how to overcome desolation by living out what is called the agere contra. We also are in spiritual combat against the devil, the flesh, and the world. So we have to have a strategy. Among the spiritual practices that St. Ignatius suggests in Rule 6, prayer, meditation, penance, and examination of conscience, another means would be the first reading from Joshua to call to mind, especially when we're going through that dark tunnel of desolation, that mist, that darkness, that cloud which seems to descend upon us, when we have to traverse those difficult times that we all go through. We should think about this reading and call to mind in your life the times in which God has intervened and helped you out. Call to mind God's victories in your lives. Call to mind how God has pulled you out of darkness and placed you in light. How God has broken the chains. How God has liberated you. When we call to mind those moments of God's intervention, that's a great source of consolation for us. So call to mind the victories of God in your life. The responsorial psalm today, the antiphon, is His mercy endures forever. A word on that. His mercy endures forever. Now, of all the attributes of God, His mercy, the mercy of God, is the greatest of all of His attributes. St. Pope John Paul II has said mercy is another name for love. You might even define mercy as such. It is the love of God forgiving the sinner. It is the love of God forgiving the sinner. Now we are weak, and we do fall. We should live out the classical saying of Venerable Father Bruno Lanteri: when we fall, the Nunc Cepi. Nunc Cepi means, now I begin. Now I begin. I'll start again. If we fall, to get up, not to stay down. We should have also recourse frequently to the sacrament of confession, which is the sacrament of God's mercy. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. So that's a brief comment on the responsorial psalm. So I'd like to spend time today on the gospel reading. And there's so much that can be said on this, so I'd like to develop this theme by giving you an overall of the gospel and then to extrapolate upon and give you some practical ideas. So we have the Pharisees who approach Jesus to test Jesus. In other words, there's no goodwill on the Pharisees. They just want to put him to the test. But Jesus utilizes this trap or trick question to give us one of the best teachings on marriage and virginity you have in the whole Bible. So even though there's bad will on the part of the Pharisees, our Lord utilizes this to give a sublime teaching for us. A sublime teaching for us. So they throw this question at Jesus: is it lawful for man to divorce his wife for any cause whatsoever? So what Jesus does is he refers to the book of Genesis. In other words, our Lord is reaffirming what is in the Word of God. And he says, have you not read that from the beginning, the Creator made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, man must not separate. My friends, our Lord is quoting the book of Genesis. What our Lord is saying, there's a lot that can be expounded upon from those few words. So let's try to explain in a clear, cogent, concise way the message that Jesus is giving to us by referring to the book of Genesis. This is very important because we're living in a world where there's never been so much access to information. We've never lived in a world with so much confusion. So the first thing that Jesus says is that God, who's a creator, God created them male and female. So let's talk a little bit about that. God created them male and female. Those are the words taken from the book of Genesis, and Jesus is going to repeat those words in the gospel today, taken from Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 to 12. He created them male and female. My friends, we've never lived in a world with so much confusion. And so much confusion, especially on this topic. God created them male and female. So, over the past few years, because of certain agenda that are out there, many people are trying to change the original purpose of God Himself as Creator. It's God Himself as Creator that has determined the gender of the human person. In the gender of the human person, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. God created male and female. God created man and woman. Therefore, what's going on in society in many places is diametrically opposed to the book of Genesis. It's diametrically opposed to what Jesus is teaching today in Matthew 19. It's diametrically opposed to biology. It's diametrically opposed to natural law. It's diametrically opposed to common sense. Even common sense. So God created man and woman. And all of you know, I'm pretty certain, that it's legally accepted that a man as well as a woman can go to a hospital and through a surgical operation, he can try to change his sexual identity. Now, even though a doctor in a hospital, he can make physical changes in the man who says he wants to become a woman, the woman who says she wants to become a man, it's still not going to change the identity of the man or the woman. Once an individual is born as a man, he will always be a man. Once a woman or a girl is born, a woman or a girl, she will always be a woman or a girl. Now what I'm saying right now is probably obvious to all of you. But it's not in modern academic circles. So I'd like to repeat. I'd like to repeat this to you so that you can teach your children. You can teach your children. Once again, once a woman gives birth to a child, that child will either be a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. And that's it. So even there might be an even though they might have what they call a sex change in the hospital, it's really not going to change their sexual reality. It's not going to change their sexual reality. So we have to be very firm on this, very strong on this, very clear on this. And you parents who are sending your children to school, you're sending your children to school. In the modern liberal milieu, there's a good chance already your children will be exposed to transgenderism. And transgenderism goes against what Jesus is teaching today in the gospel. If your children are exposed to the transgender agenda, your child will hear this. Your 8-year-old child will hear this. That you're not so much a boy or a girl, but rather you are whoever you choose to be. And there's a good program that came out in EWTN with two of the precursors of this, Jean-Paul Sartre and Beauvais, who were French existentialist philosophers who lived about 100 years ago. And they taught that sexual identity is not a biological reality, but it's subjective. It depends upon the person, and the person can decide in time, by his own subjective interpretation, whether or not he is a man or woman, a boy or a girl. So there are already the seeds of this erroneous doctrine being taught even years ago by these two French existential philosophers, Jean-Paul Sartre and a woman named Beauvais, who they both married, so to speak. So what are the applications of the gospel today, as well as the interpretation and application for your family? Well, it's this. Almost all of you who are with me on Perseverance Family, you all have your children. And many of you are also already grandparents. It's a very difficult subject, but it's incumbent upon you to educate your children and your grandchildren in this area. Now, I'm going to say something that is challenging and very difficult. But because of the modern academic environment, the educational system, in which they're exposing your children to this transgender erroneous teaching system, it is incumbent upon you to try to protect your children from these ravenous wolves. And I repeat, protect them from these ravenous wolves. Now, there are 3 or 4 options. 3 or 4 options. Because if in the public school your children are being exposed to this, and your children are being taught by professors that are 30, 40, 50 years, and they're instilling in the minds of your little children that there is no distinction between man and woman, and gender is not a biological reality, but it's a subjective choice. How on earth is a little child able to defend himself against a 45, 50-year-old teacher who has a master's or a doctorate. It's like an ant against an elephant. It's like David against Goliath. Your son or daughter has no way to defend himself and to protect himself from this poison. And we know that children are like sponges. The nature of a sponge is a sponge will absorb. You place a sponge and water descends upon it, you're going to be wringing out water. You place a sponge and mud falls on that sponge, you're going to be wringing out mud. We should not allow our children to allow mud to enter into their mental apparatus, but rather pure and clear water, the water of truth. So here are various options that parents should have recourse to. And you are just tuning in. I'm talking about the whole idea of the transgender agenda, which is spreading far and wide in many circles. You have to be aware, parents, that as your friend, I'm crying out wolf. I'm crying out fire. I'm crying out danger. That our families and our children are surrounded by wolves. Our house is already on fire. We're already in danger. So it's incumbent upon moms and dads and grandparents to do all they possibly can to save your children and to save the family. But here are the options. Number one is over the past 30 years, there has been a growing interest as well as choice for parents to educate their children in what is called homeschooling. So homeschooling is a very valid option for new parents today. And there are Catholic homeschooling programs. I'm not an expert on this, but I know that there are a couple of programs which are very, very good. There would be the homeschooling program called the Kolbe. By the way, tomorrow is the feast day of St. Maximilian Kolbe. The other one would be Seton, in honor of the first American-born Saint, St. Elizabeth Ann Bailey Seton. Those are among the most prominent homeschooling academic programs that you could look into. Now, sometimes there is an opposition to homeschooling in which the parents will say that the socialization process of my children will be stunted or thwarted because they're not in contact with other children or teachers. That's erroneous. Quite the contrary. If they're thrown in the public school system, they're going to be exposed to teachers that are going to be promoting the transgender agenda. And also your children are going to be surrounded by many other children who are contaminated by worldly values. And also already the transgender lie. So your children will be able to avoid these bad contacts, and your children will be able to, with your help, be able to choose their own friends. Whereas in the public school system, it's forced upon them contact with other children that could really jeopardize your children. And we know over the past few years that bullying at school has become a common reality that has caused in many children immense suffering. So, avoiding erroneous teaching, avoid other children that could leave a bad influence on your children, and to sidestep and avoid the all-prevalent reality of bullying. So that's the first option that I would say to prevent the transgender agenda from taking possession of the minds, the emotions, the hearts, and the souls of your children. Because you as parents and grandparents, you are called to live out the gospel, and especially the gospel what you can find in John chapter 10. You're called to live out what Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. When the wolf comes, the marauder or the false shepherd flees and leaves the sheep to be ravished and devoured by the wolves. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. So you're called to be the good shepherd of the sheep that God has entrusted to you. The second option that you have, and I'm giving you parents the options to watch over your sheep so your children are not going to be immersed in this transgender lie that is contaminating and poisoning so many children and teenagers today. And it would be the possibility of seeking out a private Catholic school. Or for that matter, any Catholic school that will be teaching the fullness of the truth. That's right. Teaching the fullness of the truth. And pray that Catholic education, good, solid, Orthodox Catholic education, will grow and flourish throughout the world, starting in our own country. In my own family, years ago, my father and my mother were instrumental in building a solid Catholic school in New Hampshire. In Sunapee, New Hampshire, it's called Mount Royal Academy. And I was from pre-K all the way up to 12th grade. One of my nieces who graduated from it is heading off to Steubenville. I think she's already arrived. So some of them are going to be going to some of the best colleges in the country. I have a younger brother who has 8 children. in the same state of New Hampshire in the year 2017, he inaugurated another private Catholic school from pre-K to 8th grade, and it's St. Patrick's Academy. Started off with a relatively small number of students, but during the year of the pandemic, they had so many enrollments that they had to place some of the children on the waiting list. Why does this come about? Because my parents, as well as my siblings, are aware of the danger that surrounds us, of the modern wolves that are surrounding us and trying to poison and steal the minds of our children. In a certain sense, my friends, it's a battle of the mind. The battle of the mind. Of course, one of the most important faculties that God has given to the human person is the mind. For that reason, Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, has said that the human person has three great desires. We have the desire to know, to love, and to live. Those are the three essential desires of the human heart. To know, to absorb the truth. To love with our hearts. We're called to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We're called to live. Jesus came and he said that I've come that you might have life, and you might have life in abundance. To know the truth will set you free. To love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then to live. To live in this life for God. To die in this state of grace. And to live forever with God in heaven. So there we have it. Those are two of the options so that we can sidestep and we can avoid and preserve our children from becoming contaminated by the transgender agenda, which is poisoning the minds of so many different children today. Now, related to this topic, very sad to say that in our country and other countries, it is already a legal reality, what are called same-sex marriages. I don't like to say same-sex marriage because marriage is a sacred sacrament which comes from God and God Himself. Rather, I would say same-sex unions. Now, the person that declares himself to be gay or lesbian, we as followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ should have great love, respect, and honor for the person that declares himself to be gay or lesbian. Great love, great honor, great respect. Because all of us who live in this world, all of us who came into this world, we were created in the image and likeness of God. So we have great dignity. And also, if we're baptized, not only are we created in the image and likeness of God, but also through baptism we become sons of God, brothers to Jesus Christ. We become deep friends of the Holy Spirit. So, we should always respect the dignity of the human person created in the image and likeness of God, and through baptism, infused within the soul, sanctifying grace, transforming the creature into a son of God. However, we cannot condone or approve of a sexual union between the same sexes, because that does not come from God. It's not pleasing to God. And that's very clear in the Bible today, because Jesus said, responding to the Pharisees and their trick question, God created them male and female. Male and female. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Right. Created them male and female. Man and woman. Adam and Eve. And Jesus, quoting Genesis, says, a man will leave his father and mother. Not father and father or mother and mother. A man will leave his father and mother, and he'll be united to his wife. And they will become one flesh. And then Jesus says, what God has united, let no man rent asunder. What God has united, let no man rent asunder. Very, very clear what Jesus says is that the union between the human person has to be the man and the woman, male and female. So I'd like to give you a practical pastoral application of this. And I know this is going to cause a lot of turmoil in your family, or it could be in the future. It already has in other families. But let's paint a typical modern scene. Okay, you come from a family of maybe 7 children. And one of your elderly siblings, say your sister, says that her oldest daughter has already decided on her wedding, so to speak, so her marriage. She's going to be married on a boat, or married in a park. And all your family siblings were baptized, brought up and raised as Catholics. So your sister said that your daughter is going to have a same-sex wedding ceremony with her lover. And your sister sent invitations to all of your siblings. What's going to happen? Okay, this same-sex union is going to rip the family apart. It's going to rent asunder the family. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. But this is going to rip apart the family. Because what's going to happen is many of the siblings, so as not to offend their sister and their niece, will go to that ceremony and then the banquet afterward. It's going to happen. Now, what you have to do, and although this is going to cause a lot of anger and division in your family, you have to do what God wants you to do. And what is that? Well, you have to either call on the phone, or probably better to write. Probably better to write an email and send it to your sister. And this is how I would compose your email. But you can't go. You can't go. Because if you go, you're approving, condoning, approving what is intrinsically evil and what is very displeasing to God, which is very much opposed to the nature of the family. You simply can't go. And how would you compose the letter? Well, say for example, your sister's name is Mary, right? Mary, I received your invitation to your daughter's ceremony. But you know that Mom and Dad raised all of us as Catholics. We were all baptized. We all made our first communion. We received our confirmation. You were married in the church, and I was married in the church also. However, I cannot go to this ceremony of your daughter who's going to live together with another woman. I cannot do it. And you have to respect my conscience as I have to respect your conscience. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it because God does not agree with it. And you might even cite this biblical passage, which is Matthew chapter 19, 3 to 12, those 10 verses, which Jesus, quoting the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, says, "In the beginning God created them male and female. Therefore a man will leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and they will become one flesh. What God has united, let no man rent asunder. Therefore I cannot go to this ceremony because I believe that I'm turning my back on God. I'm turning my back on God. And I cannot turn my back on God. Either we are a God pleaser or we're a people pleaser. Either we're a God people or we are a people pleaser. Therefore, you have to respond more or less using those words, that those concepts, that idea to your sister Mary. And I'd like to quote another teaching of Jesus. Because we have to follow what God wants and not what the world. We have to be God pleasers and not people pleasers. Jesus says, I've come not to bring peace, but rather division. Father against son, son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus clearly stated that he's come not for unity in error or in lies, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But Jesus is come to cause division between good and bad, between light and darkness, between the good spirit and the evil spirit. In the words of Saint Ignatius, we have to be willing to stand underneath. We have to be willing to stand underneath the banner of Christ, the two standard, the banner of Christ. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. So my friends, I know this is a very difficult topic, but you have to understand it. You have to have great clarity, and I've spoken with great clarity and kindness today on this topic. We have to love the person created in the image and likeness of God. Love the person who's been baptized. But at the same time, we have to stand up for the truth. We have to stand up for the truth, and the truth will set us free. So this is one of the most difficult topics in our modern society. We have to accept the biological reality that God created them, man and woman. And man and woman are called to fall in love with each other, to get married in the church. And the first command that God gave to man and woman was increase and multiply. So I hope that this conversation today has helped you. If you have any relatives that may be confused on this issue, or young people, it might even be a good idea to share this message with some of your friends. And what I'm doing, I'm simply quoting the book of Genesis, and I'm supporting the teaching of the Master. And that is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is truly the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth will set you free. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.